Good morning. Please be seated. Welcome to Burlington East on this maybe first snowy Sunday morning that we have today. Glad to see as many made it out as they did. We have any visitors with us today, a most sincere welcome. Please sign our guest book by the front door and feel free to join us for fellowship downstairs. All the announcements are already contained in the bulletin. There's just a couple that Reverend McCanch and I would like to highlight. The one I want to speak to, you'll find under upcoming events, a long list of events coming up with the church. One is called BEPC Go Forward Plan. Session's been working on I don't want to call it a business plan, but a looking ahead type of plan for the church and where we should focus, our priorities and some of that. And we're at a stage that we want to share it with the congregation. So we plan to hold an information session after the service, downstairs, during the fellowship time, on February the 3rd. So kind of mark that in your calendars, if you will. Reverend McCanch?
There are a couple of things I wanted to point out, I suppose more than just two. In the newsletter that we've got some printed copies of at the back, and I did manage to print some other ones without the thing at the top, Renata, thank you. In there, you'll see there's a section called Need a Ride to Church, and I did want to speak to this directly today. We have a number of people that often, not every Sunday, but often need a ride to church, otherwise they wouldn't be able to get here. So we are trying to compile, we being the pastoral care team, two lists. One is, who needs a ride? And the other one, and probably more importantly in so many ways, who can provide a ride? And if pastoral care can manage that, sort of see who's there. And I know from Sunday to Sunday, you may not need a ride every week, and you may not even know until sort of later on. But even if it was by Saturday evening and you had to call and coordinate something, we can try to help. So if you can provide a ride or you need a ride, please let us know. There's a link in the online newsletter, but you certainly can call Renata at the office and let her know, or let me know, or let Bob know, and we'll try to get those lists together. Stephen, put your hand up. Stephen is chairing the pastoral care team. He's another person you can certainly contact and let know about that as we try to pull that together. Tonight is the first night of the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity. It'll be taking place at Port Nelson United Church, and that's at 3132 South Drive, and it's around 7. It'll be going all this week. I'd encourage you to try to get to one of the services. They do a great job. It's the churches. Originally, this group was called the Churches of New Street, so all the churches along New Street in the sort of connecting area, we're all trying to get together and just do a couple of things throughout the year. To Christian unity. So that's happening tonight and right through till Friday night. So if you get a chance, please try to get out to one of those services, and I will be doing the same. The last two things, and I'm sorry I'm taking so long with this, but the last two things I wanted to point out is that next week and the week after, I will be having some membership classes. And I use that word kind of carefully because it's really, I'm talking about membership. It certainly is with the Presbyterian Church, but it's connecting to this family. And that's what we see membership as, committing to this congregation as a member. And I'm going to talk about that in these two sessions, and I'm going to talk about sort of the history of our denomination, but in general terms, and just to answer any questions anybody might have. So if you would like to find out more, or if you about the church history, you want to become a member, please come to one of those two. You don't have to come to both. And the last thing is that there is a Bible study that's going to be starting. It's only going to be 2 weeks. So it's a real quick overview of the Gospel of John. So it's Thursdays, which if you got my emails, you saw I corrected that. It's Thursdays, the 24th and 31st of January at 10 o'clock. And I'm pretty sure I said 10. You can check me on that, 10 or 10:30. In the morning, and it's an opportunity to take a look at this very unique gospel. So lots of information that I've just presented to you, I realize, but absorb that as best you can. And at this particular time, let's just take a moment, calm our minds and hearts, and prepare ourselves for worship this morning. This is the Christ candle that we've used all through Advent and into Christmas. And we light the Christ candle this morning as a symbol of Christ's presence as he shines a light in this worship service and in the world and calls us to do the same. We'll now gather for our call to worship.
The responsive call to worship is found in the bulletin. The voice of God resounds upon the water. The Spirit of the Lord hovers over the stream. Ascribe to the Lord majesty and strength. Our first hymn is number 414, God, Reveal Your Presence.
Please be seated. You know, God loves us. He calls us each by name. And knowing that we are eternally forgiven and infinitely loved, we now come before God boldly with confidence in Christ to confess those moments in which we've departed from God's way in our life. Thank God for the many blessings he bestows upon us. Acknowledge who God is in our lives and recite together the Lord's Prayer. Let's bow our heads. Holy God, when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan, the heavens truly opened. And I can't even imagine what that must have looked like. But we're told that the Spirit descended and your voice affirmed your love in Jesus for this healing of the human race and all creation. What a magnificent moment that truly must have been. The point of that happening in some ways is that by water and your word, you anointed and called Jesus into a life that calls us into a life of peace. And you invite us lovingly into that same mission and that life-giving mission. Lord, we pray that your Spirit will, like moving like a stream of water, that true kind of image that we can work with, can work in us today and realize the vision you have of the world made new in Christ, and the call that you've given all of us, each one of us, and corporately. Lord, we also take a moment this morning to realize that although we're precious in your sight, we still forget sometimes that very unique word that's used today as we read, beloved. We forget that we are your beloved. We come before you to confess that our love often is fickle and inconsistent. Very often we follow our own selfish goals and we deny that our way of life harms others. I'm not hurting anybody is the call very often. But Lord, you look deep in our hearts. And as we read through all the stories of Jesus when he's talking with people, Lord, we see he's not challenging always what they're doing necessarily, but why and what's going on in their hearts. So to say that I'm not hurting anybody by my actions doesn't reflect what's going on in a heart that you see. So for those times, Lord, we're sorry. We want to change. And the scripture puts it, create in us a clean heart. Strengthen our resolve, Lord. Help us to reconcile with one another. Help us to make this world a different place because of the love that you've given us. And bless us and the world at large. And that means friends, family, neighbors, with your peace. We thank you, Lord, that we can come before you this way because it's through Christ that we do this, that we come boldly. And it's in his name that we pray always. And in that light, Lord, we come before you now and unite our hearts in the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, God forgives all our sins. We are all pardoned, and we can be at peace to love the Lord and serve the world. Amen. Let's join our hearts together now in our next hymn, the children's hymn, Jesus, Friend, So Kind and Gentle. And during verse 1, we'll have the children come forward for a time together. Caught us all off by surprise, didn't we, boys and girls? We usually do this during the second verse. That's good. Keep an eye on your toes. I like it. Even caught me off by guard, too. Okay, today I wanted to tell you a story because last week we had a nice story about Epiphany. If you remember that word, that was when the wise men came to see Jesus. And we recall that Epiphany. Epiphany Sunday. Very good. You remembered. Good. And that's when the world was made aware of who Jesus was. A very important time. So this week, we have another thing that we celebrate. And I've sort of talked a little bit about it at the beginning. And it's a thing that happened when Jesus was baptized. And he was baptized, like many of you have been baptized, only he was a grown-up when it happened. And he went into a river where his cousin John the Baptist, guy that did all the baptizing, was standing. Now, but John didn't just baptize Jesus. He baptized a whole pile of people that day. But Jesus was the last one in line, not surprisingly. And he got down into the water, waded up to probably maybe his waist, who knows? put them in deep. Because what they did when they baptized in that river is they would hold the person's head, and they would hold in the front, and they would actually put them right under the water and bring them right back up again. Different way of doing baptism than we do here. But it represented something. It meant that they were washed clean by the water, like a bath, but it actually came back to life almost. It's like kind of like they went away and came back to life. And they had a brand new life starting all over again. And that was a marvelous thing for all those people that happened. But one thing very special happened. When Jesus came up after being baptized by John, it got really quiet. And it got really sunny all of a sudden. And it's like a sunbeam came right down on top of Jesus. And then that sunbeam came down what was a dove. And the people could hear God's voice. They actually could hear it. And it said, "This is my beloved son, and you need to listen to him." So what happened was that almost like a very special picture was taken by God of Jesus at that very moment. We have it very well done. And I wanted to do that today. I wanted to take a very special picture of all of you if I can. Kind of the same idea. A very special picture of you guys so that I can print it off if you'd like and give you a copy. Look at all those faces. You know what? You know what's really neat on my camera? It's almost like being in the River Jordan and that sunbeam light coming in. I'll see if you can see it this way. See if it works this way. There it goes. Donna's in there. You see what's happening? Look real close. It's what's happening on her face. Yeah. It picks a square up all by itself. It's kind of like a special. So when I pointed at you guys, 1, 2, 3, 4, I see all your faces are all got yellow squares around them. It's saying, wow, there's people out there, and they're very, very special. So you all smile nice, because I want to take this very special picture with all your little yellow squares around your faces. Choir, smile too, because you're in the shot. All right, everybody look this way. Yeah, now I can print that off later, and I can show it to you on big paper. But there it is there. That's what you all look like. Now, the yellow squares are gone, but I'm telling you, they really were there. Aww. They really were there. It said those were very special people, and that's the smart part of my phone. Everybody's phone now does this sort of thing. It says, I recognize you and you and you and you all the way down the line. I recognize all of you because you're very special, and you're very special to God. Do you know how to make phones? Yep. So I want to just say that you're very special to God. God has blessed all of you, and Michelle's going to be working with you this morning for your Bible lessons, and we're going to pray right now, okay? Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you for the boys and girls. They're all special, every single one of them, special to you and special to us. I pray a blessing on them. Pray a blessing on Michelle as she leads them in Sunday school this morning, and that they can learn more about this wonderful event that took place, this baptism of Jesus, the presentation of this dove of peace. Be with them, Lord, and we thank you for each and every one of them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, boys and girls, we'll go off to Sunday school and we'll sing the last two verses of our hymn and remain seated as we do. Donna. To catch Donna, because when I pointed the camera at the congregation, the only face that had a square was hers. I just thought it was something special. She'd like to know that somehow she was special on my phone today. I don't know. I guess it's because she was sitting so close, maybe. We do thank God for our children. We thank for the thank God as well for Michelle and working so hard with them over this last while. As we prepare to hear God's word this morning, I'd ask that we just take a moment to bow our heads and invite the Spirit of God in our midst. Glorious God, when Jesus was baptized for your healing mission, the heavens opened, and in a flash of glory, as a vision and voice blazed upon the waters, we heard that voice of God saying, "This is my beloved." May your Spirit really enlighten us this morning as we hear your word translated and spoken in the words that we have, so that we can follow the paths that Jesus has set before us and you've given us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Our responsive psalm this morning is Psalm 29. That's found in the purple psalters in your pews. This one's here. And Psalm 29 is related to the preceding one, 28 in particular, in which David vowed to thank God for giving him might. And we're quoting from Psalm 28, "God is my might and my shield, and from my songs I shall give him thanks." And it's thought that this Psalm 29 was composed really kind of in a way to fulfill that vow. It also has traditionally and historically been used to serve as an introduction to one which is dedicated to the inauguration of the house of the Temple of David. In other words, this song was sung, they believe, when the Ark of the Covenant was moved from the tabernacle or the tent into the permanent temple that David had started to build in Jerusalem. So let's now come before God. And remember, there's lots of imagery relating to water and baptism and all that glorification of God in that respect. So Psalm 29. Thank you, Bob.
Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord the glorious name. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord makes Lebanon to skip like a calf. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. O Lord, give strength to your people.
Again, thank you, Bob. Our Old Testament reading is taken from Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 7. That's found on page 672 in the Old Testament portion of your pew Bibles. Isaiah is chock-a-block full of sort of negative prophecies to the people, warning the people of what is coming because of their disobedience to God. But there are equally as many positive prophecies in Isaiah, giving the people a hope of the future in their relationship with God, a hope of freedom from captivity. These promises surround things like the cleansing ability that the Spirit of God has for all who return to the Lord in fullness and in faith. And so this selection today is particularly great as an example of what God covenants or promises or contracts with all who return to God's call of repentance and of faith. Isaiah 43. "But now, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and a flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you, I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, For I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. And our New Testament reading is taken from the book of Acts, and in this next number of weeks as we journey through, we'll have a number of readings from the book of Acts, journey through to the beginning of Lent. The book of Acts, chapter 8, verses 14 to 17, and the book of Acts really is the book of the Acts of the Apostles, its proper title, and it's not quite read very often in the church as far as, unless you're using the lectionary, and even then it's not used that many times, but it's full of amazing stories of what the early church experienced, and as the title implies or states really, it was what the apostles did in those early years. And there are many examples, such as in Acts 3 about baptisms, laying on of hands, and what is meant for that, and as we look at baptism a little bit today, and we're going to see something happen very remarkable with Peter and John. Acts 8, beginning at verse 14. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. The two went down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet the Spirit had not come upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Short, but to the point about today. Our gospel reading is taken from Luke chapter 3, and we're reading 15-17, and then skipping down a little bit into 21-22. And it's a story, as I've already alluded to, that's taking place. It's the baptism of Jesus, and that's what we're celebrating in the sense of acknowledging today. And we want to hear this gospel account that stretches across all four gospels. God's announcement of His Son, Jesus, on earth, and what it means for us, and how this has changed the world literally forever. Luke 3. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Down to 21. And when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus was also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. This is the word of God. Join together now in our next hymn, How Firm a Foundation, number 685. Please be seated. Ever since I've been a congregant in a church, and particularly in studying church history, and been sitting in the pews, I've been intrigued by the church calendar that gets referenced all the time. And, you know, things like today, we have the baptism of Jesus, and last week was the, you know, the Epiphany Sunday, and we have all these various sort of things that happen. And I've mentioned the church calendar many times right here, and even this morning. And so I think we're all kind of used to the idea of a church calendar. If you look up the church liturgical year on Google, you'll find a little wheel that comes up, and it's got pie slices in it that show when Christmas is and when Lent is and when regular time is, and there's colors associated with all of those. We can get very formal about it, and in the Presbyterian Church, we kind of follow it, but not. Some churches adhere to it strictly, some don't, depending on the congregation or the denomination. But when I was a church member sitting in the pews like yourselves in West End, Toronto, that particular congregation really didn't talk about the church calendar or liturgical year. All we pretty much really were, I was aware of, probably just much my own not paying attention as anything, but was Christmas and Easter. Those are the big times. Other than that, you're at church, you know. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that at all, certainly. But I like to think about the church calendar in particular because it connects us to a long history of church history. And it connects us to the Christians throughout time as well. Because the church calendar wasn't developed just because it was something to do and make a calendar up. It was given us as a kind of a, we can follow the timeline of the gospel message of Jesus Christ throughout the entire year. It helps us to read our Bibles a little better because we've got some direction because of the calendar telling us here's what we are. As I said, it connects us to our ancestors. So today I wanted to really think about this idea of the dove and the baptism of Jesus, but reflect on our own baptism as we do this. It's important for us not to always look backwards, but sometimes just to reflect on how we got here. And I think our baptism is an important keystone for all of us as Christians, because I would say that most of us here, if not all of us here, have been baptized at some point in our life. Whether it was an infant baptism or something we did as teens or something we did as adults, whether it was in this church or whether it was in a different church or a different denomination, done differently as I described to the children, it's a keystone event in our lives. So as we consider this, just take a moment now. Let's just bow our heads for prayer. Lord, it's difficult Sunday to Sunday to Sunday sometimes to kind of get the church and get all the stuff done that has to get done and get the kids in the car and get ourselves in the car and have breakfast and whatever order we put all that in. And then suddenly come here and sit quietly and listen to some person speaking at the front. So help right now that this moment can be more than that for us. Holy Spirit, descend upon us as we read about this descending of the Spirit on Jesus. Descend on us now. So all that stuff gets pushed away for a few minutes. And we listen for your voice, just as you spoke that day to Jesus and the crowd gathered. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Very often, you'll see me, usually during the prayer of confession, come down here. And I was at a conference a number of years ago, and I watched them do this, and I was impressed with it. And I wasn't impressed, let's do this every Sunday, but it was impressive enough, this particular conference that I was at, when during the prayer time, it took a moment to come to the baptismal font and pour water into it to remind us of that moment of our baptism. But it wasn't just something to look at. It was something to listen for. And I point that out very clearly because it's the flowing waters of the River Jordan that we're listening for. The cleansing waters that Jesus was standing in that morning. So I'm going to pour the water and I want you to try and listen for that sound. It's a special sound. It's a very special sound. It's a sound that triggers all kinds of things, aside from maybe having to relieve yourself. Sorry. It's a sound that triggers flowing waters in our minds. It's a sound that feels clean because the water's rushing past. It's that baptismal water sound. In fact, in some churches, they have a fountain, which is where we get the word fount, or font rather. They have a fountain that's running all the time so that that water can be heard in the sanctuary all the time. You see, church is not just supposed to be a time when you sit like you were doing and listen to some guy yammer on at the front. This is the time to experience the Spirit of God. And that flowing water sound adds to the effect for us. So I tried to add to that effect this morning for us. To hear the waters of the River Jordan flowing as Jesus stood there and John spoke to him and God spoke from above. Baptismal fonts represent that water. And some baptismal fonts, you'll see them if you go into different churches, especially when you go into more formal and older churches. They're made of stone. There's all kinds of symbolism built in here. Some of them are eight-sided. It's a reminder of a new creation and is a connection to old contract or old promises from God. It represents something that took place very special for babies on their eighth day, biblically speaking, around that font. Some baptismal fonts are three-sided to remind us of the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Holy Trinity, rather, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Some fonts are placed at the entrance of the nave. And I've pointed this out, and I'm going to speak about this in a few weeks. But if you all look up, and Ray, I'm looking for you in particular, we are looking at the bottom of a boat. And that's why this is called the nave. Because it's naval, and it's intentional, folks. It's by design, because they didn't have to build a church roof looking like this. They could have done all kinds of other things, but there's spars going across. It's to raise our eyes up, but to remind us that we're on a journey, and we're in the ship of God. And often they put the font at the entrance to this journey that we're taking. Baptism reminding us, once again, you started something at your baptism and you're in a journey and you're partaking in that. I point to Ray because you've got a naval background. Fonts are there in many churches through the Middle Ages and Renaissance. There's even a special chapel built sometimes for them, a separate building housing them called a baptistry. The quantity of water is usually small. You can see we've used that here. Like I said, somehow have water pumps or natural springs to keep the water moving to give that visual and audible image of communicating living waters, that one aspect of baptism. I poured it from a very big height in that sense this morning to represent that, and I was so moved at that particular conference that I was at. It was a huge room. There must have been 1,500 people there surrounding the sanctuary, and in the middle, right in the center, they had this baptismal font. And they poured the water, and boy, you could have heard a pin drop. It was amazing. Methods of baptism, I alluded with the children, change from denomination to denomination, congregation to congregation. That same church in West End, Toronto, they did a baptism, I know, a few years back, and they got an inflatable pool and brought it in the church, blew it up, filled it with water. Because the person being baptized wanted sort of a full immersion effect. They didn't have a pool like that in the church, so they just put one in for the morning. It worked. How it's done is not so much an issue. Because as I said, you'll experience everything from sprinkling to full immersion, and it depends on where you are as to how that happens. And I have experienced all of those things in so many ways. Today, as I'm pointing out clearly, I hope by now, we're remembering the baptism of Jesus. This is something that takes place uniquely, I say, other than the cross event, uniquely takes place in all four Gospels. And I pointed this out when we talked about in our Bible study that in a few weeks about the Gospel of John. There's usually, in the first three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, common stories. And then there's John that sort of sits out here. It's laid out differently. They've all got the same basic story. Jesus lived, went to the cross, died, 3 days later rose again. We got that. But they tell them a little bit differently. Some of the stories are included differently for different reasons. But this is one story that's in all four in particular. Almost unique enough to be like the other end of the story, which is the cross, which is also in all four stories. And I think that's there for a reason. It's to prove its importance. It's to prove its importance not only because it's positioned where it is, but it's important to us. It's an event in our lives that we read about in the life of Jesus. The baptism of Jesus is one of the most theologically profound events in the gospel narratives. Outside of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus, this baptism of Jesus is one of the keystones of the gospel story, or the story of the life of Jesus. It's included in all four gospels. When the Father spoke from heaven, he said, "This is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased." Crosses all four gospel messages. The divine sonship of Christ was announced in a very vivid and dramatic way, and in many ways, and is a continuation of this notion of from last week with the Epiphany. It's not just the wise men going to this quiet home to visit Jesus. There's a large crowd of people gathered that day. And this miraculous voice from heaven utters those words, "This is my Son. My beloved," is the word that gets used. This is a significant event to establish Christ's identity. And we need to take the time to think about that. Not just as how it affects Jesus, but how that rolls into our lives. So today I titled the sermon, and really that title should be almost a title for the service. Like a dove. A dove showed up in this story. And you know, whether you are a religious person or not, there's a symbol that everybody knows. And it's the dove with an olive branch in its mouth. And that belongs to us. Because that story comes from Noah. In Genesis 8, at the end of 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark that he had made and sent out a raven. You have to read that, make sure you get that right. And it went to and fro until the waters were dried up from the earth. Never came back. See, we always read that story. Remember from Sunday school, he sent out what? A dove. Well, he sent out a raven first, and it didn't come back. Then he sent out a dove from him to see if the waters had subsided from the face of the ground. But the dove found no place to set its foot, and it returned to the ark, for the waters were still on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took it and brought it into the ark with him. He waited another 7 days, and again he sent that same dove out from the ark. And the dove came back to him in the evening, and there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. So Noah knew that the waters had subsided from the earth. Then he waited another 7 days and sent out the dove, and it didn't come back either, because it found some place to rest. We assume the raven perished. Olive branch. Doesn't say anything about peace there particularly. But the story of Noah and that dove with the olive branch, when you read the Old Testament story of Noah, often you'll see in translation that God sets a rainbow in the heavens. The word is not rainbow. The word is bow. In Hebrew, it's a bow from an arrow, bow. And God sets his bow in the heavens as a symbol to say, I am no longer at war with the world any longer. I am at peace. And we've picked up from that the dove and the olive branch. God changed the way the world was going to be because he was going to destroy the entire world, if you read that story, and start over again because people had become so wicked and the world wasn't working very well. And he said, you know what? Noah's been faithful. His family's been faithful. He listened to me, and he set out on the waters. I'm going to put my bow down. No longer am I at war. And when Jesus stepped into the waters that morning with John the Baptist, God sent a dove, symbolizing the same thing. I have now brought peace into this world. And that's what our baptism represents in so many ways. The peace that has returned to our lives through Christ's death and resurrection, symbolized in our baptism. The interesting thing about water as well, water is used throughout the entire Bible to symbolize new life. Moses was brought out of the water. Moses crossed the water. The River Jordan has been a key player as well. It's the River Jordan that Jesus and John are standing in. In Joshua 4, the people crossed the River Jordan, and although the waters parted, they just like they did for the Red Sea, there's clearly a sense that they were being cleansed and prepared to enter the promised land through that baptism of cleansing through the River Jordan as they entered in. In 2 Kings 5, there's a story of the king's servant Naaman who had leprosy and was cleansed by washing in the River Jordan 7 times by Elisha's instructions. So it's from stories such as this we get this idea of baptism of water and this idea of the dove of peace entering our lives. We have a long tradition in church, and I say that with a capital C, church, regarding baptism. It takes on, as I said, many various forms, and there's many scriptures and resulting thoughts about how it should be done and all that sort of stuff, theology. Each of us here, again, as I said, have experienced it one way or another in our lives. Jesus was not just doing something odd that day by stepping into those waters, claiming his baptism, and seeing that dove appear. He was fulfilling his destiny and furthering his declaration of being identified to the world as God's Son here on earth. I want to say the one part of that phrase again. He was furthering his destiny or fulfilling his destiny. When we're baptized, we are fulfilling God's destiny in our lives. That's what it means. I've been reading about recently the Great Awakenings, is what they're called. If you look at your hymn book, you'll see that a lot of the hymns were written in the late 1800s. That's considered the second Great Awakening. The first one took place in the 1700s. Many great hymns were written in the second Great Awakening that took place, outpouring of the Spirit of God globally, not just in one location. And in the 1700s, the same thing happened, and great hymns were written then too. This great awakening that takes place is a baptism, spiritually speaking, of fire. This great awakening challenged so many Christians and brought so many new Christians into the fold. And baptism represents that fulfillment of the destiny of God in our lives. That's my reflection for this morning. When I say reflection, that's our moment to pause and think about how we got here. Got here through the waters of baptism. We are sustained here by those same waters. For us, for you and I today, I seriously, really want us to consider this act of baptism that took place in our lives, whenever that may have been, because it was a signing of a covenant, a contract between yourselves, ourselves, and God, signed in Jesus' blood, so to speak. Covenant, again, biblical word. It means contract. That's why I keep saying it that way. And it's a special arrangement between two individuals. And there's always two parties in the particular covenant that takes place. And there's a whole ceremony around that. I'm going to that another time. There's a whole ceremony around the act of covenant in the Old Testament. But basically, I can summarize it by saying it's like that when we were kids, many of us, remember you doing Blood Brothers? You know, it's sharing the blood between two people, basically. And you're never separated from now on. It's a blood contract. We're united through that. And that's the notion of this covenant that God sets for us. Contracts are important and they change lives today and in Bible. We're reading about baptism. We're reading about laying on of hands today. We're reading about mystical things that were experienced and are experienced in our time. Jesus was baptized and the Holy Spirit appeared in the form of a dove and this voice came from heaven. You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. The blessings of God were pronounced. When Peter and John prayed for the people in Acts, they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And then we read in Isaiah, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. That's a covenant, folks. That's a contract. It was made by God for all of us. As we consider our baptism, as we think about this dove image, this sense of peace that's coming between us and God, really, honestly, take a moment and think about your baptism, our baptisms. When it took place, you may not be remember because you could have been a baby. I know I was. And there were no pictures taken. So I have nothing to lock onto, but I know it took place. But think about that baptism point in all of our lives. The covenant that was made, that God was with us. We are God's beloved. And we can respond to that very similarly to what's also contained in that story from Peter and John that we didn't read, because just beyond that, after they laid hands on those people, it says they were walking and leaping and praising God. There's a song around that. I won't sing it for you, but there is a song around that. They laid hands on them, they were healed, and they went walking and leaping and praising God. The covenant we have with God, do not fear, for I have redeemed you, I have called you by name, and you are mine. And cause us to walk and to leap and to praise God. We are redeemed, as Isaiah puts it. We are returned. We are reset. We are restarted before God. That's what that baptism point means. And we acknowledge that in the baptism of our faith, gathering like this on a Sunday morning and reflecting upon it on a day such as this. We leave this place today. Please contemplate that moment. Think of it as that time when you got kicked off in God, so to speak, and got started, moving forward. It got you here today. It wasn't just your car. You're on a journey, all of us. If we look up, we can see the boat. We're on a journey. And it can make a difference not only in our lives, but in the lives of the people that we share it with, because that's our mandate from the gospel. God has given us so much and freely. We contemplate that and we bless God for it. Amen. As people who have passed through the waters of baptism, let us now make our grateful offerings to God, our Redeemer. Lord, we thank you that you covenanted your love for us through the act of baptism, through the act of faith, and through the lives that we live in Christ. Bless this offering, Lord, that it can continue your message in a world that is in great, great need. Shine a light through this, Lord, in a world that is very dark in so many ways. We thank you for the faithful offering that has been presented by this congregation to the work of the glory of God. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Our flowers in the sanctuary today are placed by Dorothy Dickerson and family in loving memory of husband and father Gordon Dickerson, and lovely flowers they are. Thank you, Bob and Dorothy. We continue to remember Ann Bone in a hospital still and recovering, and as I said, boogieing all over the place in her wheelchair, and hopefully getting out as soon as she's well enough with her fractured hip. But we do remember her today, and I know there are many on your hearts that we come and think of this day as we come in prayer for the people that we have in our lives and the world at large. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Glorious God, as Jesus prayed at his baptism, your loving spirit brooded over top of him. That's what that beam of light and that dove was all about. It provided sustenance and strength spiritually, and it also provided guidance in the life that he would live, and it provides guidance for us. So Lord, brood over us this day as we offer our prayers for our church and our families and our friends and the world. We do pray for those who suffer in grief or sickness of any kind. We pray, Lord, that the people that we know in our lives, we can take a moment to think about them and reflect on them, that we can offer their names as we do from week to week. We pray, Lord, that you will hasten your healing hand and provide the light and kindness and all of the needs that are needed in the lives of all those around us. There's a lot of suffering in our world and a lot of suffering that we experience in those that we know in our lives and in our own lives at times. And in that light, Lord, we come before you and we offer names, some in silence and some said out loud, of people that we know in our lives who are in that great need. And we do that now. Thank you for these names, Lord. One spoken out loud and one spoken quietly in our hearts. Some may be too painful to even say out loud. It's an act of faith, Lord, just like stepping down into the River Jordan is an act of faith for Jesus and for so many others who've done it. It's an act of faith as we offer these names to you, to hold in your hand and covenant with you that you will deal with them however they need to be dealt with. Intervene in their lives however they need to be intervened with, so to speak, and heal them, Lord. Oh God, you have made us, you have formed us, and you've called us each by name, and we are yours. You've redeemed us in Christ, and we ask, Lord, that you will receive these prayers this day, for your life-giving spirit is powerful to save and redeem. And we offer these names, these prayers, these thoughts, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We'll join together now in our final hymn, Freely, Freely. God has given us this baptism, this new life, freely, and we thank him for that. So a good song to be sending us forth with. Freely, Freely, 774. We have been with Jesus to the River Jordan, the river of life, the river of promise. And so now we go forth in the joy of life to live as children of promise and covenant. And now, beloved of God, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who stood with sinners on the riverbank, uphold you. May the love of God, who calls us beloved, bless you. And may the power of the Holy Spirit, who descended upon Jesus as a dove, give you peace. Amen.